Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. If you haven't got a Bible with you, don't worry, just listen to what the Word of God has to say to us. Luke and chapter 12. And reading from verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And it says, "And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." I know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. I just want to think about this story, this account that the Lord Jesus Christ gave of this rich farmer. I worked in agriculture for 35 years. I think if I spoke to many of my customers and said, I want to tell you about a rich farmer, many of them would say there's no such thing, but we know different. But here we have a rich farmer. And we find that this man was so taken up with material things and the wealth of this world that he actually gave no thought for God and no thought for eternity. You'll notice that we're told that he's rich right at the beginning. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So harvest after harvest had come and gone. But this harvest this year, my life was used to be completely focused on the harvest. Throughout the year, from the time the seed was put into the ground until harvest time, that's all we were working towards, was harvest. And here we have a man who has another harvest in his life. But this harvest is different. The harvest starts to come in, and it continues to come in, and he gets to the point where probably the greatest problem he's ever had is the fact that the harvest was so great, he doesn't know where to put it all. The barns are full. What does he do now? In fact, we're told in verse 17 that he said he thought within himself, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" I just want to stop there a second. That phrase, "no room." You know, that's what they said when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He was laid in a manger, for there was no room for him in the inn. I just wonder, in light of what we've heard already tonight, have you any room for him in your life? The one who loved you and died for you and gave himself upon the cross of Calvary. I wonder, are you a person that says, "No room"? Heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Heard the message of the Bible, the wonderful message of the gospel? Heard of the fact that we're all sinners, as we've just heard, how sin came into this world, and yet still, you just keep saying, "No room"? How tragic. After all the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, laid down his life for you, a place secured for you in heaven can be yours if only you'll put your faith and trust in him. And yet still, no room. And so this man said, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow all my fruits?" What I want to think about just in these last few minutes is to think about this. I want you to think, first of all, about what this man said. The man that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. But then I want you to think about what God said. Because as we think about these verses, he said, the harvest was coming in, no room to where to bestow all my fruits. And he said, "This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my goods. And I will say, notice what he says, "I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You'll notice that throughout these verses, this man is completely focused on himself. What shall I do? because I have no room to bestow my fruits. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will bestow. He's constantly thinking about self. We don't read of at any point him thinking about God. We don't at any point think of him thanking God for the harvest that was his. Neither do we think about what is beyond this life. You know, we're living in a world where people are so focused on the here and now. What about today? What about this year? What about my life? Making sure we've got enough for this life. He was thinking about his life now. He was pleased with everything, how everything was going. He was already rich. And yet the harvest was the best harvest he'd ever seen. He was going to be wealthy beyond his dreams. Maybe he was thinking, as the pound signs were going through his eyes, maybe he was just thinking about one thing: retirement. Maybe we can stop farming. Maybe we can just take our ease, sit back, eat, drink, be merry, and just enjoy this world's goods. You see, if we contrast what he was thinking and his focus, what he's got now, what he can enjoy now, today and for the rest of this year and maybe into retirement, and yet what we're dealing with tonight is what the Bible is teaching, is where will you and I spend eternity? We live in a world where people want you to focus on preparing for the future, but it's only short term. But what we're dealing with tonight is, after this life, where will you and I spend eternity? The Bible speaks about a heaven. The Bible speaks about a hell. And what we do with this tremendous, wonderful, good news message of the Bible will determine where we will spend eternity. He thought everything was sorted. He thought he had everything this world could offer. How sad he didn't even think about the fact that life could possibly end very quickly. Never gave a thought to the fact that all that he had in this world would be no use to him as soon as eternity came calling. No thought about God. No thought about eternity. So he says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. There will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he said. Now notice the very next verse. What does God say? God, who is the creator of all things. God, who is in control of all things. This man thought he was in control. He had the wealth. He thought it was all to do with him. And all the wealth he had, he could enjoy it. But now God says, notice what God says, verse 20. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? All the things that you have. And God says, the one who is in control, the creator, the sustainer of all things, God says, thou fool, this night, you're taken into eternity. Then what use is all of those things that you have? You can't take them with you. Absolutely no use for you. God says this stuff. I wonder. What about the voice of God speaking to you tonight? As far as the message of the gospel is concerned, as far as your future in eternity is concerned, and God has brought before you the message of the gospel again, about the fact of his great love for you in sending his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die upon a cross. And because of that finished work, the one who gave himself for you and for me, because of what he has done, you and I can be saved, can have our sins forgiven, can know that we're on our way to heaven. And God has spoken. Are you still saying no room? Still saying no room? What if... this is a very solemn thing to think about, but what if God said to you tonight, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? What if God took you into eternity tonight? Can I ask you? Can I just stop and ask you? Where would you be? If God took you into eternity tonight, where would you be? Do you have the assurance and the confidence of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Knowing that you're on your way to heaven? Can put your head on the pillow with a peace, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour, and knowing that if the Lord Jesus Christ came back tonight, or if you were taken into eternity tonight, immediately you'd be with him in his presence for all eternity. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that assurance? This night, maybe you might say, well, as far as my life's concerned, I'm doing okay. Health okay. Financially secure. Now, whether it is or it isn't, what about eternity? Can I ask you, are you prepared for eternity? We might have everything this world has to offer, but if eternity came calling tonight, where would you be? How wonderful the message of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided a way by his death upon the cross. He came into this world. He was willing to come and willing to go to a cross. And there he laid down his life upon the cross, suffered horrific suffering upon the cross, nails through his hands and through his feet, a crown of thorns upon his blessed head, a spear into his side, the mocking, the spitting, the scourging. The Lord Jesus Christ endured, and it was for you, because of his great love for you. And he's asking you to simply put your faith and your trust in him. You know, the wonderful thing is that whoever we are, whenever we come to him, the Bible tells us that him that comes to me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will never cast out. He'll never turn his back on you. You might have refused him and said no room for many a year. You come to him tonight, he'll welcome you. He'll welcome you. He's longing for you to be saved. Maybe you are saved tonight. Now, just as the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross and was buried and on the third day rose again. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures teach us, not only did he die and was buried and on the third day rose again. And maybe you say, I am saved. What a tremendous thing to be saved. But the Bible teaches us that we should be baptized. I wonder, maybe you are saved. Or can I ask you, are you baptized? Because when a person is baptized and goes down into the water, we're saying, just as the Lord Jesus Christ died, we've died to sin. Our life is different. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ goes down and buried, we're taken down into the water. But the person's brought out of the water. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ rose on the third day. Not only, the most important thing for you to do tonight would be to get saved if you're not already saved. To put your faith and your trust in him. But can I ask you, maybe you are saved. Can I ask you, are you baptized yet? The Bible teaches that if we believe on him, they that gladly received his word, the Bible simply says, were baptized. What a tremendous thing. How wonderful. As we think about this man who said material things were the most important, yet God says, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. How wonderful that we can be sure of heaven tonight. Because of this wonderful message, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took the punishment for our sin. Dear friend tonight, let's make sure we're prepared and ready for eternity. God loved you. He gave his son to die for you. He gave everything. He gave everything so that you and I might have eternal life. Dear friend tonight, if you haven't already, can I urge you? There's an urgency about this message, you know. We've preached a number of times over the last few nights, and I know I've said before from this platform that this could be the last time. It's a very solemn thing to be able to preach the gospel. I count it a great privilege to be able to speak to you about this wonderful message. It is the greatest message that I could possibly speak to you about. And it's the most important thing you will ever do in your life, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And the solemn thing of this message is this, and what happened in these verses could happen to any single one of us, where God says, this night, thy soul is required of thee. Dear friend tonight, can I urge you, before you leave this tent, if you haven't already, you might get right with God. You might be prepared for eternity. You might put your faith and your trust in him, because life is short. And the solemn thing is that death is sure. And sin, we've heard, is the cause. But how wonderful that Christ is the cure. He loved us. He gave himself for us. Can I ask you, as we close our time together this evening, are you ready for eternity? Are you prepared? Have you had this assurance, this comfort of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? And knowing that whatever happens tonight, if God said, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour, and you can just do it in the seat where you are. Don't have to be in any special place. You don't have to be with any special person. Nothing special about the preachers that are here tonight. Just want to tell you the message of the gospel to make sure that you're clear. And to get right with God, simply in the seat where you are, say to God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that he was buried on the third day, rose again. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin and turn to the one who loved you and gave himself for you. What a tremendous message. What a wonderful thing to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. If you haven't already, dear friend, tonight I urge you before you leave this place to get right with God and accept him. And maybe if you are saved, sat in your seat tonight, and you're still not baptized, can I urge you? The Bible says those that gladly received his word, they were baptized. The one who died, buried, and rose again. Shall we pray?